Today on The Journey.
Whether it's emotional or whether it's physical or whether it's positional, there are times in your life when you're going to find yourself alone. And what will God provide during those times?
Loneliness is a cold, pain-wrapped gift. Inside its drab covering lies bright purpose and smoldering hope. Today, Ron Moore offers unwrapping instructions that will ignite that hope and illuminate God's purpose in your life. Also, to help stoke your spiritual fire, we want to send you a copy of Ron's uplifting book called Ignite. In it, you'll discover a step-by-step journey that leads to a heart ignited by grace. It's available for a gift of any amount at ronmoore.org. Your donation will help further our ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. I'll have more details later in the broadcast. Now here's Ron with the message, Igniting a Lonely Heart, on The Journey.
Way back in 1966, John Lennon and Paul McCartney wrote a song. It was titled, Eleanor Rigby. Now I know the Beatles did not write this song for spiritual impact and spiritual input, but this is a pretty good introduction to what we're going to talk about today. Eleanor Rigby. Eleanor Rigby picks up the rice in a church where a wedding has been. She doesn't even get invited to the wedding. She lives in a dream. Waits at the window wearing a mask, a face that she keeps in a jar by the door. Because when you leave your home, you got to put that mask on, don't you? Church mask, Christian mask. Spiritual mask. All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Where do they all belong? Well, let me ask you a question. Do you think there are any Eleanor Rigbys among us? May not look like it, because again, you have that face that you keep in a jar by the door. A mask that covers all the lonely feelings. But God looks on the inward man while man looks on the outside. God sees the heart. Do you think maybe there are a couple Eleanor Rigbys among us? I think there are three types of loneliness. The first one is physical loneliness. An individual who lives life by themselves, or an individual who, because of their situation in life, is alone most of the time. Physical loneliness. There's also emotional loneliness. There are some people who are never alone, yet they're always lonely. They're always around people, and people are always around them. They put themselves in those situations, but behind all the surface talk and surface relationships, beyond the 15 different Bible studies they're involved in, there's this emotional loneliness. I'm talking about that emotional need that's not met deep in the heart. And then there's one more. We'll just call it positional loneliness. Sometimes you are in a position. There are a lot of you in this room who are leaders in companies. You call the shots, organizations. You're part of a team. You get input, you listen, and you assimilate the information. But at the end of the day, you alone have to make a decision. And that decision is going to impact people's lives. And it's no secret. Whatever leadership book you read or whatever leadership experience you go through, leadership can be a very lonely place. All the lonely people. Where do they all come from? All the lonely people. Here's the real question. Where do they all belong? We're involved in this series of sermons we titled Ignite, and the aim of our study is simply this. To ignite the heart of every believer with a burning passion to follow hard after God through all the fires of life. And our desire in this series is to help us see from God's Word and help us pray that God ignites our heart with this burning passion, this one desire, this magnificent obsession, this holy ambition to follow hard after Him. Because when we do that, everything else in life makes sense. Now today we want to talk about following God through the fires of loneliness. Whether it's emotional or whether it's physical or whether it's positional, there are times in your life when you're going to find yourself alone. And what should you be seeking during those times, and what will God provide during those times? Now, in order for us to really see what a heart ignited for God looks like, we have chosen to follow the life of King David, a man after God's own heart. So turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 19 as David is just getting started on his journey. As you're turning there, let me set the context. David has been anointed king. He was out tending the sheep and Samuel came up with that horn of oil and he whispered in David's ear, "You are the next king of Israel." From that point, David's life took off. He was enjoying rock star status after his defeat of Goliath, after his leading the nation in victorious battles. Songs were written about him. He married Saul's daughter. But remember, while Samuel told David he was the next king, no one has told Saul yet that he's not the king anymore. And so as Saul saw David getting all this popularity, Scripture says, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. And pretty soon it turned to more than a jealous eye. Look at chapter 19, verse 1. Saul told his son Jonathan and all the attendants to kill David. Saul was very subtle in what he wanted to happen. And it's at that time when Jonathan hears this that he steps between David and Saul. And he says this in verse 1, the last part, "But Jonathan was very fond of David and he warned him, 'My father Saul is looking for a chance to kill you. Be on your guard tomorrow morning. Go into hiding and stay there. I will go out and stand with my father in the field where you are. I'll speak to him about you and will tell you what I find out.' Jonathan spoke well of David to Saul his father and said to him, 'Let not the king do wrong to his servant David. He has not wronged you. And what he has done has benefited you greatly. He took his life in his hands when he killed the Philistine. The Lord won a great victory for all of Israel, and you saw it and were glad. Why then would you do wrong to an innocent man like David by killing him for no reason?'" And verse 6, Saul listened to Jonathan and he took an oath. Saul did a lot of oath taking. He said, "As surely as the Lord lives, David will not be put to death." Jonathan tells David what his dad Saul said. And so David returns to serve Saul. And remember, one of David's things that he does to serve Saul is Saul is in this mental anguish most of the time. And so he plays a harp for Saul. And one night when Saul is in this mental anguish, when he is being tormented, Scripture says, David is playing this harp. And David looks up just in time to see Saul's arm cocked with a spear in his hand aimed at David's head. Chapter 19, verse 10. Saul tried to pin him to the wall with the spear. But David eluded him as Saul drove the spear into the wall. And that night, David made good his escape. And that escape was aided through a series of events by Jonathan. Now let me ask a question. Remember who these people are. Saul is the former king who doesn't know he's the former king. And Jonathan is his son. And then here's David, the new anointed king. Now what happens if David dies? Who's next in line? Jonathan, right? So why would Jonathan risk his life for David? Why would Jonathan be the one to step in between Saul, his father, and David? Why would he be the one who is fond of this person who's going to take over the throne? Well, to answer that question, let's go back and we'll try to put together the events that got us to this point. Just a short time before chapter 18, Israel had been completely dominated by this group called the Philistines. Discouragement and despair hung over Israel like a black rain cloud. And then it got worse. Israel woke up one day to see the Philistines were getting bored of just oppressing them. They wanted to obliterate them. But they had a problem. Saul was down to 600 men, and he had no weapons. So here they are, thousands of the Philistines camped over on a hillside, and the Israelites just waiting for the inevitable to occur, 600 defenseless men. How would you like to be in that situation? Well, it was at that point that Jonathan took matters into his own hands. In chapter 14, verse 6, Jonathan said to his young armor bearer, "Come, let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised fellows, the Philistines. Perhaps the Lord will act in our behalf." Listen to Jonathan's heart. It doesn't matter if they have thousands and we have a few hundred. It will not matter. If God wants to save us, He will. He is more than capable of doing that. So his armor bearer says, "Do all you have in mind. Go ahead, I'm with you heart and soul." So Jonathan has this plan. He yells up the hillside. He asks the Philistines a question. If he gets a certain answer, he's going to know that God is with him. And he gets the answer from the Philistines that demonstrates to him God is with him. So here's what he does. He goes across the hillside, and it says he climbs up a cliff with the enemy, the Philistines, standing right at the top, ready to kill him when he gets to the top. Because he has confidence that God is going to deliver him. He and his armor bearer get to the top. Scripture says in a half acre area, they killed 20 Philistines just like that. And that killing brought a panic upon the Philistines, and they ran. And the Israelites, the 600 defenseless men, run after these thousands, and they routed the Philistines. And it was all because Jonathan had this confidence that when God is on your side, it doesn't matter who's on the other side. Thousands over there, me and God, not a problem. The Philistines regrouped. And they came up to do battle with the Israelites again. This time they regrouped by their leader, a 10-foot giant named Goliath. And for 40 days, Goliath came out and he talked really bad about the Israelites and, more importantly, about their God. Who is your God that you aren't willing to come out against me? In fact, let's not have a battle with everybody. You send your best man, I'll take him on one-on-one, mano-mano, winner take all for 40 days. Hey, remember who would have been in the camp of the Israelites? Jonathan. Here was a man at one time who climbed the cliff. And now he is scared to death. You ever been in that situation? One time you can take on the world with God, and the next time you're cowering in fear. Think of the turmoil going on in Jonathan's heart. Faith versus fear. On the 41st day, Goliath comes out, and just so happens that God sovereignly sends his man, David. And when he gets there, he hears Goliath making these charges against Israel and his God. And he says, "Who's going to step forward? Why are they retreating? If God's on our side, we can take Goliath." And so David, that young shepherd boy, steps forward. Now, when he said, "I want to go against Goliath," the soldiers first took him to Saul, and Saul tried to talk him out of it. Who would have probably been there with Saul? Jonathan. And just as Jonathan had gone up that cliff, completely vulnerable, but knowing that God was on his side, and knowing that when you have God on your side, you don't need anyone else. So David went out by himself, completely vulnerable, and he killed the giant. And now, after he cut off the giant's head and was holding Goliath's head by the hair and standing in front of Saul. That's when we get back to chapter 18. After David had finished talking with Saul, Jonathan became one in spirit with David. Why? Because Jonathan had experienced the same thing as David had experienced. And now Jonathan's heart became one with David. They had the same purpose for life, honoring God. They had the same passion for God. They were willing to go up a giant or against a cliff. And it was as if they were sharing the same heart. Now that type of friendship cannot happen with a non-believer. How in the world is that non-Christian friend going to do as Proverbs 27:17 says, sharpen you as one man sharpens another? How can a non-believer sharpen you spiritually in a deep friendship? You can't. Let's back up one more time. To this point in his life, David had been alone. The youngest son, he got the job being out tending the sheep. That was a one-man job. He was alone. For days and nights, David spent physically alone. When he stood against Goliath, he was alone. After he kills Goliath, look at chapter 2. From that day, Saul kept David with him and did not let him return to his father's house. So now David is experiencing the separation from his family. He is alone. It's right at this time that David's popularity skyrockets. And we've already said that success can be one of the loneliest places on earth. So David knew what it was like to be physically alone. He knew what it was like to be emotionally alone. He knew what it was like to be positionally alone. This would not be the last time, by the way, he was alone. But here he knew it. And so God does something. God ignites his heart with a true friendship. And God will do that and can do that for you. Whether your loneliness is physical, whether it is emotional, whether it stems from your position, God ignites the lonely heart with true friendship. The reason that this type of friendship is so important is that God creates us to need relationship. First with Him, that's primary, and then with others. He made us for community. That's why church and the community of believers is so critical. You will never find the word alone in Scripture in a positive context. It's always in a negative context. We were made for a relationship. But let me be quick to say this. The reason we were made for relationship is so that we can do what we were put on this earth to do. And that is to honor God. So let me give you some practical stuff. Here are some things not to do. First of all, if you're going to begin to develop this type of relationship, if you don't already have it, make sure it is man with man and woman with woman. Man with man, woman with woman. Secondly, make certain that a true friendship does not infringe on the intimacy with your spouse. Here's the priority. Our first relationship is with God. If you're married, your second relationship is with your spouse. Then this third level of friendship we're talking about comes in. And don't talk about your marriage problems with your friend. Talk about that with your spouse or get a third party to help you out. Number three, don't expect soul bonding overnight. Don't go up to someone after the service and say, I want you to be my Jonathan. Don't force friendship. It's always going to backfire. So here's some things you can do to put yourself in those situations. Very quickly. Number one, pray. Pray for wisdom and discernment to find that good friend. Pray that God will bring that Jonathan along. And by the way, it may not be a person for life. David has to leave Jonathan. He has to escape. And Jonathan's killed in battle not long after this. There are other people that God brings along the way to bolster and uphold David. It's not always Jonathan. It's just for this particular time. Number two, place yourself in friendship situations. Put yourself in a situation where you're meeting some people. Get involved in service, because many times in service opportunities, you find someone who's has the same purpose. You like the same things. You have the same gifts and who have a passion for God. The next one, work at being friendly. Be an encourager. If you're an encourager, you'll be surrounded by encouragers. Practice hospitality. Have people over to your home. Share a meal with them. Enjoy the evening with them. You say, I don't have the gift of hospitality. Fine. Take them out to a restaurant in the area. You say, I don't have the money for a restaurant. Fine. Take them to Sonic Drive-In, Vanilla Dr. Pepper. It's a spiritual experience that you'll have together. Just get with other people. If you're going to pray, you can't stay in your cocoon. You got to get out. Stretch yourself a bit. Unless you want to be an Eleanor Rigby and just pick up the rice in a church where a wedding has been. Now, one last thing. As I said, Jonathan was not always there for David. He helped David escape, and then David was alone again. But God always had some people to support David, but that wasn't the biggest issue. Here's the biggest issue. While Jonathan was gone, other people were gone. You know who never left? God never left. You see, even your bosom buddy is going to disappoint you. Even your closest friend is going to let you down. And even before that, again, I want to emphasize, your closest friend cannot meet the deepest emotional needs of your heart. Only God can meet those deep needs. And here's the best part. He's a friend that will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He'll never let you down. In your loneliest physical moment, he's still there. In your loneliest emotional moment, he's with you. In your loneliest positional moment, standing right there by your side. There's only one friend who sticks closer than a brother. His name is Jesus. Listen to what he says. John chapter 15, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that they lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know what his master's business is. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. That's where you start with this lonely issue, Jesus Christ.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. But first, a brief look at his motivating book, Ignite. There, Ron leads you step by step on a spiritual journey to a heart ignited by grace. Along the way, he reveals God's purpose in your stresses, pain, and tough times. By matching today's struggles with King David's tumultuous life, Ron paints a vivid picture of God meeting you wherever you are. He assures you that God is using your loneliness, brokenness, disappointment, and emptiness to fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite can be yours for a donation of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
What do you do when your heart is shattered and you're the one who holds the hammer that broke it into pieces? What do you do when you realize you broke your own heart?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And we invite you to order a copy of Ron's book, Ignite, to help fan the flames of faith in your heart. Ignite is yours for a gift of any amount, and you can get it at ronmoore.org. Again, our address is ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? Your kind recommendation is greatly appreciated. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron again next time as we walk together on the journey.